Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Can I hear you say wonderful? Wonderful. Full of wonder. Let me hear you say, he is truth. He's the way. He's life. Let me hear you say mighty. When the word mighty comes to mind, when you say it, when you hear it, what do you think of? Mouse, ducks, mighty ducks, right? What comes to mind when you hear the word mighty? All powerful. Yeah. Mighty, by definition, is possessing great and impressive power or strength, especially on the count of size. Big, mighty, strong. So when I think of mighty, I think of people. Right, or like characters, TV shows, movies maybe. When you think of characters, right, what sort of characters do you think of when you hear mighty, when you think of mighty? What's that? Ducks, mighty ducks. Thor. Yeah, come on. What else? Samson. Yeah. The Hulk, Navy SEALs. Come on, right? You know the show you're thinking of right now. You know the movies, the books you read. You know, right? There's characters. Who likes the Marvel movies? Okay, maybe some Avengers or DC or whatever. You can mix them together. It's okay. You don't have to love one or the other. You can like both. Because we think of characters, right? Why do you think people, us, why do you think we like our movie heroes so much? Mighty. The strong, the conquerors. Why do you think that is? Ooh, I heard a good one. What's the first one? Emulation. Gives us hope. Savior. That's all true stuff. Whether you're sitting in here, you're watching online this morning, right? That's true. I think it's because it's in us. I think it's because it's in us. For all the reasons you said, emulation, right? There's a Savior. I think it's in us to want to overcome. I think it's in us to want to have victory when it doesn't look like it's gonna happen. I think it's in us to persevere through difficult situations. But what's difficult is to believe that we can. And so what's in us, I think, is what God has put in us, and it's what we desire when we hear mighty, when we hear conqueror, when we hear right hero, when we have these characters in our lives. I think it's because it's in us that God has designed that desire, that want, that understanding. I think he puts it in his people on purpose to love the Savior, to love the one that overcomes, for good to win. I think that's part of God's design. I think he puts that in us. But the problem with us desiring that from any other way besides Jesus is because that's not what he's put in us. We try to make up these characters. We try to make up these movies. Hollywood, those that don't believe in the Lord are trying to find the solution to what God has put in them in a way that is not God. Our conversation for today is to talk about the one who is mighty, to talk about the one who is God, and to talk about the one that actually answers the questions that we have and the desires that are in our heart that we have been made and designed to know and love. It's the best superhero though is, right? Well, if not, if you don't think so, right, you're gonna get challenged tonight. I'm gonna convince you that you're wrong. Hopefully you're like, yeah, I'm gonna be a part of that. So this is one of those messages, right, wherever you are, where it's okay, I'm gonna give you permission to actually have a little bit of joy and get a little bit excited. I'm gonna give you permission to agree with what God says is true, and you can do that however you want to. Wherever you sit, wherever you stand, wherever you are, wherever you listen, wherever you're watching, you get the ability to do that as you understand and you agree with what God says is wonderful and amazing, is truth, is life, and is mighty. And all those things are our God. That's the conversation for today. Now, Christian said, right, we're in this series. This is our second week. This is our Christmas series. Man, I know he said we're going to have one service for, one church and five services, whether it's the 23rd to the 24th, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to see if you're going to be there. So that's kind of a threat. But it's going to be off the charts. One family is pretty rare, like Christian said. So put that on your calendar. Be over there. It's going to be awesome. Like in a world divided, unified, it's going to be amazing. And so we're heading towards that. Last week, we talked about from this Isaiah 9:6 passage that God, Jesus, is indeed our wonderful counselor. Who caught that message last week? Super good, right? If you missed it, check it out. But God is wonderful, and he is our counselor. And I think of wonderful, I think of nice and amazing. But when I think of counsel, sometimes I think of, well, it's not necessarily nice and amazing, but it is true. And if it's true, it doesn't mean it's always easy to hear. Isaiah says that we're going to have a savior that is called Wonderful Counselor, and he follows it right up this week, and he calls him Mighty God. And if I was Isaiah, I would say Mighty God. This is the part where we get to be reminded of who God is and his character, of who Jesus is, of what his authority is in us. And here's what I love about this topic. The word of God gets to speak. The word of God gets to speak clearly. And so as we look at the message for this week, we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus is our God and Jesus is mighty, how Jesus is God, and how Jesus is indeed our mighty God collectively together. So if you're following along, we're going to jump into scripture right here. We're starting in Psalm 147. We're going to look a whole bunch of scripture right here. We're going to look how God is mighty, how God is God, and then how God is mighty God for us in our lives. So here we go. Psalm 147, 4 and 5. This is a New Living Testament translation. Verse 4, he says, our God is mighty because he determines the number of stars. He calls them each by name. He says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Our God is mighty. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is later. Same guy, same author, later in his same letter. He's just repeating what he's already said. Isaiah again says, have you not known? Have you not known and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That's how Isaiah says it. Man, have you not heard? Have you not known? God is the creator of everything. Everything. And what he knows is unsearchable. You can't find it, can't figure it out. Our God is mighty, is he not? Our God is mighty, he's also God. Deuteronomy 10, 17, New Living again says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Read that again. For the Lord your God is the God of all gods. He is the Lord, capital L, of all lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. He shows no partiality. He can't be thwarted. He can't be bribed. He can't be tricked. Our God is mighty. He is God. John 1:1-3, jumping in the New Testament now. This is John, one of the disciples of Jesus, the apostles of the Lord himself, says this about what is true about Jesus, the Savior, that a child to be born to us, that upholds the government, who is a wonderful counselor, but is also this. He is a mighty God. 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Jesus, our Lord, was God and was with God. He, in the divine Trinity, was in the very beginning in creation. He is the Word become flesh. Jesus is God. John goes on to say, he was with God in the beginning. In verse 3, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has ever been made. So what was made that has been made that Jesus hasn't made? Nothing. Sounds kind of mighty. Who do you know that's made everything? Jesus, come on. You want to come up here? I'll give you the mic. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was with the Father. Jesus was there in creation. Jesus has made everything. He's part of everything. He's in everything. He upholds everything. Nothing happens that's outside of his will. Nothing surprises him. Nothing thwarts him. Nothing scares him. Jesus is mighty. Jesus is God. John talks about it. Last one, Psalm 135, 5 and 6. It says, I know the greatness of the Lord. The psalmist, right? He says, I know it. That our Lord is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever he pleases him throughout all heaven and earth and on the seas and in their depths. The Lord does whatever he pleases. On the scale of might and ability and superhero-ness, the superhero scale, God does whatever he wants, whatever he pleases. Where? Everywhere. In heaven? Yep. On earth? Yep. In the sea? Yep. How about at the bottom of the sea? Yes. God is mighty. Jesus does what he wants. He does what he pleases. And most of these scriptures are from people that are acknowledging it because they believe it, because they've seen it, because they know who he is, they know how he is. And they're declaring that he is mighty, that he is God. The God that we serve, the Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas, the Advent, right? The Emmanuel of God choosing to be with us, that little baby, that sacrifice. He is creator of earth. He is mightier than all. He, yes, says last week, he gives us wise counsel. But this is the God that we fear. The creator of all things that puts everything into its place. Our God is mighty and he is God. Amen. See, Jesus is greater and he does what he pleases. He's mighty and he is able. Your God, if you choose to believe that he is your God, is mighty and he is able. Do you believe that? The verses we just talked about God's providence, his sovereignty, his ability in creation. His ability to be in all things and to know all things. But my question for you is, do you include you in all things? Do you think that God is just mighty for creation of the elements? Do you think that he created all the stars and knows them by name, but not you? Do you think God is mighty to do things in your life? That's the question. So what is he mighty to do? He's mighty to save. Absolutely, he's mighty to save. In his might, what does he do? How does he do it? In his might, this is what Jesus does. We just read it. In his might, he speaks the universe into existence, right? In his might, he's numbered the stars and he calls them by name. Agree? In his might, he does whatever he pleases in heaven and earth and in the seas. In his might, he creates us in his image and likeness. In his might, he says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. In his might, he knows every hair on your head. In his might, he decides that you become a son and a daughter of the king. In his might, he forgives. In his might, he restores. In his might, he renews. In his might, he waits. In his might, he knows. In his might, he chooses. In his might, he surrenders. Can you surrender in might? Does that work? In his might, Jesus says, I will humble myself and I will consider myself less than the God that I am to be considered a man. In his might, he goes to the cross. In his might, he gives up his life. In his might, he dies on the cross. In his might. In his might, he says, you're mine. In his might, he says, I win. In his might, he says, it's my blood. In his might, he says, it's not too much. You're not too far. In his might, he says, I can. In his might, he says, you are. Because he's able. Is he not? He's able to create the heavens and the earth. He's able to put all things into existence. He is able to overcome Satan, sin, and death in his might. See, this is a part of the conversation where we go, yeah, mighty, yeah, creator, yeah, Lord, yeah, yeah, big, boom, yeah, woo, party, right? Come on, she loves it. You should too. See, she was listening earlier when I said, hey, you can get excited and agree with what God says. That's what it looks like right here. You know it is. We love that part. I love the superheroes. I love the action movies. It's great. But man, you want to start talking about me? You want to start talking about my story? You want to start talking about the stuff that I've done? Well, he's not mighty anymore. Because he's just mighty to put things into place that are for everybody else. That's before me. You start talking about me, he's not mighty anymore. Is that you today? Is that you that claps and says, yeah, mighty to create and mighty to save, but not for me? Do you believe he's mighty in your life? Do you believe that he has the authority, that he is mighty enough, that he is God enough in creation from the verses that we read where God's word speaks, that he can enter into your life and be mighty in your life? Do you believe that? Because Isaiah says it's true. He says, yes, he's wise and he gives counsel, but he says he is mighty God. He has done all those things and I'm talking to you. Is God mighty for you? Do you believe that God is mighty to save from your situation? Do you believe that God can forgive and reconcile and renew and restore? Do you believe that the God who puts everything into creation can be patient and forgiving and steadfast with you? Do you believe he can forgive what you've done? I do. That's a hard belief. But you cannot stand here. You cannot listen. You cannot hear and say amen to those. Amen. Not look in the mirror and say amen to what he says about you. See, our God is mighty. In his might, he declares us more than conquerors. He declares us ministers of reconciliation. He declares us disciples. He declares us friends in his might because he has the authority and he has done the work to say that that's true. He has paid the price. He has earned the right. And what our God says is true, we are to say is true. Is God mighty in your life? Would you agree that he is mighty to do all things? That he is mighty and that he is in control of all ways? Do you believe that about you? See, Jesus chose to humble himself and become a servant to die on a cross. And that's mighty. Being meek is mighty. Being patient is mighty. Being humble is mighty. Being obedient is mighty. Choosing to consider others better than yourself is mighty. God cannot be what God is. God is not divided. God does not change. God and his might is mighty across the board. And what he says is mighty is mighty. Jesus is able to do all things. Reminds me of a story in the New Testament. It's Matthew 9. This is more about how our God does mighty. Because we agree he's mighty, amen? Yep. This is how he does mighty. I want you to think about how God is mighty. This is Matthew 9, 1 through 8. It's not in your notes, so you gotta listen. The story says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came into his own town. Some of his men brought to him a paralyzed man. This paralyzed man was lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this point, some of the teachers of the law, Pharisees, the religious people that knew all the rules, that were representing God himself, that thought they knew what Jesus had asked of them, but had missed it, those people, they said to themselves, This guy's a liar. They say, this guy's blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, because he's mighty, amen. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? And he asked them this question. He says, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to get up and walk? He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. The man got up and he went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to a man. So Jesus is able. Jesus is mighty. Jesus comes along the scene and he comes into our lives. And we already know that he is God and he can. He does whatever he wants. He told us he does whatever he wants. And he comes into our lives and we're broken. And we're in front of other people. And in the story with the paralyzed man, Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven. What did the man want? What the man wanted was to be healed. He wanted to walk again. But Jesus came to him and he said that your sins are forgiven. And why did the Pharisees get sideways? Because first of all, they say, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. You don't have the authority to do that. Our Jesus has the authority to do that. And he was showing them that that was true. But they said, you can't forgive sin. And Jesus is so brilliant. He asked them the question. He said, which one is easier? Which one is easier to them? Which one, what do they have said? To get up and walk. Because my God is able. They didn't think so. They would say, well, what's easier? What's easier is for you to be able to heal somebody that can't walk. That you'd be able to give him his ability back. That you would have him be able to walk this earth in this temporal life in this body that's not eternal. The thing that would be easier to do would be able to remove the challenge from your life. That's what they all thought. And that's what they all believed. And what they were expecting, what they were hoping, and what they believed was the only possible thing that Jesus could do, even though he was God, and they were learning that that was true, was to take away the challenge from his life. And so he says, what's easier? For me to take away the challenge from your life, or for me to say your sins are forgiven? And Jesus in this moment is declaring and proving to them who he is. He is God and he is mighty. And he says, the most mighty act that I can do to prove to you that I am God, even though you think it may be for me to take away the tough things in your life, is to actually say I've taken away the toughest thing in your life, which is the sin that will take you to the grave. Our God is mighty. But I gotta be honest, you guys. I'm like the Pharisees, if I'm gonna be honest. Because what I end up doing is I end up going, yes, God's mighty. Yeah, he is. Man, let's clap and let's talk about it. And then I look at my life and I say, God, take away the challenges. Instead of remembering that the greatest challenge that I would never be able to overcome is the sin that he took away on the cross. See, Jesus is mighty, and he is God, and he does have the ability, and he is able, and what he says he has done, he has. The most mighty act that any single one of us could ever hope, ask, pray, fight, believe, put on the movie screen, that number one thing he has done, and it is finished, and it is to overcome sin in your life. And so Jesus tells this man, your sins are forgiven. Because he's able. Do you believe that God is mighty when he doesn't take away the challenges of your life? Do you desire what God desires for your life? Because on one hand, we say God is mighty and God is able. And on the other hand, we say he can't take this away in my life. This obstacle is too big. The sin is too large. I've walked away too far. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things that I've said. You don't know the things that I think. You don't know what I did this morning. God is not mighty, is what you ought to be saying. Now, Jesus in the story, this is what is brilliant, and this is what I love. Did Jesus tell the man to get up and walk? He did. Yeah. Is he able? He is. But don't forget, What makes God mighty is not that he makes your life easier. What makes him mighty is all the things you heard, but the mightiest act of all is the one that he did on the cross. And that's guaranteed for those that believe. That's a guaranteed act that he's done, that's finished, that's accomplished, that we get to celebrate, that you can't undo, that you can't take away. Once and for all, Hebrews says that that sacrifice has been made for you. Guys, that's pretty mighty. In his might, he can do all those things. But in his might, for you in your life, he may not. In this instance, he did. In a different instance, in Corinthians, Paul tells us that Paul wrestled with God over and over and over again. And Paul begged him to take away what he describes as a thorn in his flesh. Something that was evil, something that was tormenting him, something that was sin, something that couldn't be overcome, something that he needed to be taken away, something that God who is mighty, God who is able, God who has put all things into play from the beginning to the end, God in creation, God who can do anything he wants, wherever he wants, however he wants. He said, God, will you please take this away from me? Did Paul know he was saved? Yeah. Did he ask God to remove the ailment from his life? How many times? Multiple times, over and over. He begged, he wrestled. God used this man to declare truth, to declare it, to be a part of even the New Testament. And what did God tell him? No. Yes, Lonnie. But what God told Paul was, no. I'm not going to take it away. My grace is sufficient enough for you. And my power, my might is made perfect in your weakness. Is God mighty? What if he doesn't take it away? Is he mighty? Yeah. Man, that's hard. That's hard. And this is what's so good about God's word and God's truth, to hear it, to say it, to proclaim it, to remember it, to think about it, is because in one instance, God is able and he's mighty. And he says, I take away your sins and I take away your ailments and I take away your challenges. Be blessed. And in the very next conversation, in the very next week, in the very next season, in the very next decision that you make, in the very next prayer that you send up, in the very next challenge that you go through, God says, I am mighty and I am able and I do love you and I'm not taking it away. And guess what? He's mighty in both cases. He's God in all circumstances. And he's good no matter what. God is able to do amazing things in our lives. And God is good regardless of the outcome. Do you see that the decision for God to take away, to give, is his? He's capable. And it's his ways, in his thoughts, in his timing, in his purposes are his ways. They're not my way. And when they're not my way, I kind of want to tell God to hit the highway. And I question, man, is he able? Does he love me? Is he capable? He is. Proverbs tells us to not lean on our own understanding, but to trust God. Romans tells us that God works out all situations for the good of those that choose to believe in him and for his glory. I don't know how he does that every time, but he does, because he's mighty and he's God and he does whatever he wants and he puts it into play and he says start and it starts and he says stop and it stops. He's mighty, he's God. And the most mighty act that proves that he is the one that we've said multiple times, is that God is mighty and he is the power to save. And the most mighty thing that he can do for you, he has already done, if you choose to believe it. Now, wherever you're listening or wherever you're sitting, wherever you're hearing or watching or thinking about it, if Jesus is not your Lord, if he's not your Savior, then he's not your mighty God. But don't get it wrong. He is mighty and he is God. And I hope that he's yours. Don't let your circumstances dictate the reality of who God is. But man, heading into Christmas season, This is the season for doubt for some. Season for fear, the season for anxiety, the season for remembering all the things you don't want to. The season for putting Jesus on the foundation, putting Jesus on the screen, putting Jesus on display, and choosing to try to believe that he is mighty, that he's wonderful. You know, sometimes it just doesn't feel like it because of what's going on. But our feelings don't dictate truth, just like your circumstances don't dictate truth. The word of God, our wonderful counselor who is truth, who is life, who is the way, dictates truth. He's good God. He's mighty and he's able. The team's going to pass out communion here, and I want to read a prayer that comes from Ephesians 3. This is our man, Paul, again, and he's reading this in light of who God is and how mighty he is. In his might, he may or he may not. But as they pass out these communion elements, I want to remind us that communion is for those of us that are believers, who believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that don't have it all together, that aren't perfect, so don't act like it. It's for those of us that believe that he is able and mighty to save and choose to remember that through his sacrifice. If that's you, hang on to those elements. And we're going to take them in just a minute. But as they pass those out, I just want you to listen to the words that Paul writes in Ephesians here. And I want to set it up by saying this. Well, I'll ask a question and then I'll say this. Do we believe that Jesus is our mighty God? Yes. Even when it's hard? Yes. Even when it doesn't feel like it? Yes. Jesus in his might, God in his ways, God in his authority, God in his control, God in his desire, God in his might, asks us to be mighty as he is mighty. He empowers us to be mighty as he is mighty. So I want to read this as a prayer, and then we'll pray for a minute after it falling in communion. Here's Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. And this is for us. Here's what Paul says. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all the glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish indefinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As you hold those elements in your hands, let's just take a moment and go before the Lord. Choose to remember his goodness. Acknowledge how mighty he is, how mighty he has been for you, and how mighty he may be for you in his goodness. Let's choose to remember Jesus. Let's spend a couple minutes praying. Go before the Lord, share with him your heart, and let's choose to pray. Let's do that now.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.